Wow, wow, wow. What a crazy week, right, folks? What a crazy week. Did you listen to Sam Tripoli's Tinfoil Hat podcast? You go to episode 187. Very appropriate name for the episode. There, I was on there. I was on there, right? That was a thing that happened. I was talking about Nipsey Hussle. I didn't, you know, between Sam and Aaron, the other guest, I wasn't able to drop all of the knowledge. In fact, I had a page full of notes. I didn't get through most of them. So again, if you want the full scoop, you got to get it on that Patreon bonus episode I published about a week or so ago, 2 weeks ago. Yeah, cause out of nowhere, Sam's dude reached out to me and said, "Hey, we had people that recommended you come on the show to talk about Nipsey Hussle." And I don't know who that was, but if you're listening, thank you very much, cause that was a big honor for me. Sam's got that's a big show. Sam was on, he was on Joe Rogan a bunch of times, right? If you don't know who he is, a very funny guy. He's a comic. He's not everyone's cup of tea, from what I read in your comments on all the social feeds and such. He's very extreme. Him and he had Alex Jones on there a couple weeks ago. It was actually a very entertaining episode. You gotta give that a listen also. And yeah, I was on the Skype. And yeah, I did not. I let the mask off. No sunglasses, no hat, no none of that. And I don't know. Let's not make a big deal out of that. Okay, not a big deal. You know, for many years, I've wanted full anonymity on this whole thing. And over the years, I've slowly released that fantasy. I like a little bit of privacy, a little bit of me time, if you will. But I imagine over the years, I will let you in a little deeper, a little further. But I figure, what am I scared of? What, the Illuminati? Like, they don't already know who I am, right? Now, at this point, I'm more trying to keep the weirdos away from me. As you know, in case you haven't been with me since the beginning, I received death threats in the past. And, you know, you become numb to that sort of thing, but it's very scary, especially as you can imagine in this particular territory of conspiracy theory. It's quite the thing. So I gotta keep a little bit of anonymity, and, you know, it is what it is. But let's not make a big deal out of it, okay? All right. Now, the topic for today, my friends, the 2019 Billboard Music Awards. Yes, indeed, another award show. Another show that, you know, if you watch these shows enough, like I do, I've watched every award show in the last 7 years. And I don't typically watch these things because they're garbage. They're utter garbage. It's propaganda. It's the big show. It's the big show of the, we'll call it the Illuminati, the big show of the agenda to put these artists up on pedestals to be worshipped by you and I, by the masses. They want to perpetuate this false image of how great they are. And look, I'm not trying to take away anything from these artists. Like, it takes fortitude, I'm sure, to deal with the whole entertainment industry and these grueling schedules. And I mean, imagine the pressure, all these people watching. I mean, that's a lifestyle that I'm sure is not easy. But these rituals that we see are basically, they're pawns for the Illuminati, and that's what these shows are. They're high-profile ritual events, massive amounts of energy focused in on these characters, on these false gods, if you will. I don't know how religious you want to take it. You know me, I could take it all the way if you want. Take it all the way to Cholo Jesus. We love you, God. Yeah, so let's get into it. That's enough, right? You already know the whole deal. If you don't know anything about the high profile ritual, keep listening to podcast episodes. But this is just the latest. There's been award shows throughout the year, and this is the latest. So it is what it is. There are many like it, but this one is ours. We're going to start out with Juice WRLD. Who's Juice WRLD? What's a Juice WRLD? Well, it's a rapper. These rappers come up with the crazy names now. Spelled WRLD. Why is that? Well, he removed the vowel. Removing vowels is the Kabbalistic thing to do. Madonna did it. They all do it. There's a reason for it. There's a reason for the removal of vowels. I'm not going to pretend to fully understand it, but it has something to do with the Torah and the Jews not writing the vowels because it would be, you know, representing God. They couldn't write the word for God down. I'm not super familiar with this, but I just know it's a thing that happens with the mystical Jews and the Kabbalah. My guy, Ken Ami, he probably knows the answer to that. I should have him back on the show. Ken Ami sent me a link. I had him on the show last year. Take a listen to that. That was a very good episode. He sent me a link. If you're listening, Ken, I read through it. There was an article on the best alien sex scenes in the movies. You know that. You know that I'm researching these aliens right now. Right now, currently, I'm reading about the mushrooms, the psilocybin. That's a wacky old thing. I don't know much about hallucinogens, but I am learning a lot. I'm learning much more than I ever did before. It's very fascinating. And I'm going to give you a spoiler alert about the book. A little teaser, maybe. Maybe that's more appropriate. The mushrooms are used to make contact with the divine. Make contact with the global consciousness. It's the Dionysian ritual. Or maybe it's the Apollonian ritual. Subsuming the consciousness, allowing God to take over. Very weird stuff. And again, there's going to be more on that. But anyways, yeah, there was this article about aliens having sex. And that's what it's all about. It's all about these aliens. As you will read in my new book, One Glorious Day When It's Done. It's going to be a long time from now, so don't hold your breath. I say that, but who knows? I go through these flurries of writing. That writer's block thing is very real. I'll not be able to write for a month on it, and then I'll just knock out 20, 30 pages. So we'll see, right? We'll see what happens. Anyway, Juice. Let's talk about the Juice to get loose. Top new artist. Oh, my goodness. He must be the best. He celebrated his award by going on stage and purposefully taking off half of his jacket to show us a shirt that had lightning bolts on it. The lightning bolt, of course, is the symbol for Lucifer, which is the theme of this year's BBMAs. This year's BBWs. I'm not surprised, though, because last year I wrote about a song he had called Wasted with another one of these satanic rappers named Lil Uzi Vert. Lil Uzi Vert, of course. And I'm not being hyperbolic here. Lil Uzi Vert is open about it. It's very clear. He says it. In fact, if you look at his name, Lil Uzi Vert is a play on Lucifer. That's it. It's all about Lucifer as the true God, the outsider, the adversary. That's what these people are obsessed with. And yeah, so of course, Juice WRLD is right there with him. And in the lyrics to Wasted, they talk about getting into the Matrix, and she told me she's trying to get closer to Satan. And Juice WRLD also had, I believe it was a song with Trippie Redd, and the artwork for that showed him with the 666 on it, I believe. Or was it a 333? Either way, you know what he's trying to get at. We can see through it. Now, speaking of Saturnian, Dark Lord, Satanic, Luciferian stuff, did you see the stage? The stage these people were performing on was a black cube. Should that surprise any of you? No, it shouldn't. Not at this point. They're very blatant about it. The Xfinity stage, I've got an image on IlluminatiWatcher.com you can check out. Because there was a bird's eye view for a moment where you could see the black square from the cube, from the black cube stage. But you also saw the, let's see, oh dear, how many sides are on? If you took a three-dimensional cube and you laid it down flat two-dimensionally and represented it, there are one, two, three, five, six sides, hexagon. Jeez, it's been a long day here, okay? Hexagon. Yeah, so they have the hexagons, which is, you know what I'm saying, right? You get the three, you take a three-dimensional cube and you lay it flat and it's two-dimensionally and it looks like a hexagon, but it's really just a cube, right? A flattened cube. That's in case you were doubting there was a reference to Saturn on the stage. They showed it to you right there. And if you're not familiar with the idea of Saturn, I wrote an entire article about it. You can check out the Decoding Illuminati Symbolism series. But basically, and I, excuse me, and I think I talked about this on Tinfoil Hat for a second. It's the idea that Saturn is represented by the lead. The alchemical process is turning the lead into the gold, into the sun, the solar religions here we're talking about. And Saturn is the outsider. It is the sixth planet. Okay, that's why the 666 has such reverence in this occult religion. And if you go mega deep into it on the history of the world according to the occult, the forces of Saturn are what they believe gave us the material realm. They don't think God with the beard and the clouds did it. They think that in the cosmic mist, the Saturnian force, the serpent, allowed things to coalesce, and he gave us the constructs, the material constructs of time and such. That's why Kronos, time, watches, it's all related. Kronos, the devourer of children like Moloch. We're going to talk about Mr. Moloch Drake in a little bit here. Drake. We're going to talk about Drake. But first, I want to talk to you about Ariana Grande. She likes to sing in the Seven Rings. That's the song she sang, Seven Rings. I don't know it. I don't follow her. But she did basically the music video for Seven Rings. She did it on the stage at the BBMAs. So we got more of what you would expect. Because you surely already read my analysis on Seven Rings, the video. And little Ariana Grande, she was pushing the same purple haze. The purple haze that's in the video was on the stage. And of course, she's got the giant hidden sun on the stage. Again, a reference to Saturn. Called the sun behind the sun. I believe that was Kenneth Grant that said that. Or Aleister Crowley. The source of all this energy that they're trying to harness. And again, in the video, she's got the lightning bolts. Again, same concept. Madonna, the queen of Kabbalah. Ariana Grande's into the Kabbalah too, by the way. Now, Madonna, I talked about on the last episode, I gave you some predictions for the BBMAs, particularly about Madonna. And I don't know that I nailed this one at all. Like, I can't always, I can't get all the predictions right. But Madonna, she had this Madam X album or alter ego coming out. So she performed the track off of it with the dude. What's his name? We're going to talk about him in a second. But the thing we got from her were these dancers that came out. And turns out they were holograms. And it had me fooled, to be honest. I was shocked because I saw the Tupac Coachella hologram, but you could clearly tell that was a hologram. Now these dancers, not not so easy to discern, okay? We could argue that this, and not to mention the technology they show us is far, it's inferior to the technology they have, you know, capital they in quotes. So if they're showing us these holograms that look very real, I propose they easily have the stuff to bring in the Project Blue Beam ideas, the ideas of, it's this theory that the Illuminati, the elites, whoever, are going to project images of aliens and UFOs in outer space, up in the skies, and we are going to bow down and beg for the consolidated one world order to take care of us. Of course, you can go many directions with this. In my book, I'm trying to argue that over the years, they've been prepping us for this sort of thing. They don't care if you believe aliens are good or bad. They really don't. You just have to believe in them. Believe in the possibility of them. Thoughts become beliefs, become reality. That's the mantra. That's the mantra of this whole field of study. I think I've cracked the code here. Now, on this performance, she has this, what's the proper term? Latino male, Maluma, this guy, and apparently he's popular elsewhere, but not in America, as far as I know. And the camera would not stop showing this guy. He is chosen to be the next big thing. That's my hypothesis here, because the cameras kept showing him, and they show him, he's hanging out with Taylor Swift, he's hanging out with Madonna, he's Mr. Popular. And I did a little quick little research on him. His first album was named Magia. I told you I took 2 years of Spanish in high school, right? Do you pronounce the G's? I don't think you do. I think it's like an H. Magia, which is Spanish for magic, okay? Now, Illuminate confirm, I don't know, but I think he signed the big Faustian bargain, the pact. Now, Panic at the Disco, you know them. It's another great name. They performed. I don't follow this, especially not Panic at the Disco. This guy, Brendan Urie, is the lead singer. Apparently, he's like the only one in the band, or kind of like maybe like Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails, perhaps. Whatever, he's the face of the band. And he started the whole BBMAs when he came out with Taylor Swift to sing her new track. But then he had his own little, I don't know what the song is called, but he had a song they did. Doesn't matter. And Taylor Swift is, I think she's a clone, you know? We talk about clones on this show sometimes. She's very vacuous, isn't she? Like, there's nothing there. It's just, I don't know what's up with her. There's something up with her. But, and speaking of, and look, Ariana Grande, I wanted to mention this, Ariana Grande, she's like, her and Taylor Swift, they're both like co-opting black culture, and look, I'm a white suburban guy, like, the hell do I know, right? But like, that's upsetting to me, because I grew up listening to this, to rap music. And, but like the stuff they're saying, they're acting like they're part of this hip hop culture, and it's just not the case. I'm sorry. They were drama geeks in high school, I'm sure. Got shoved into lockers with Drake. I mean, these people are and the reason I say this is because like the Panic at the Disco guy, Brendan Urie, he's the same thing. Like, they're drama geeks, and he's talking about how he got bullied all through high school, and I'm not advocating for bullying, but it but it does reinforce social norms. it's effective. No, I'm not saying it's okay, but I don't know. It just, there's something that leaves a bad taste in my mouth when I see Ariana Grande talking about how she's got the juice and give me the loot and she's making it rain and all this stuff. And that's like, just stay in your lane. Can you stop? I don't know. What do you think about that? That's just a little personal feeling I've got. Now, Panic at the Disco, we were talking about that. Because when he performed, the camera zoomed past the big black Saturn stage. And he had a big giant symbol on there, which I looked up, and sure enough, it's like a sigil. It's a circle with a triangle, very Harry Potter-esque. And then in each corner of the triangle, you've got the all-seeing eye at the apex, of course, because why not? That's just like the dollar bill. And then on the other two corners, you've got the sun and the moon, the polarities. And I, you know, we talk about this stuff all the time. We see it all the time. It's always a reference to the occult religion, the ancient religion, the worship of the sun and the moon, the solar forces, the lunar deities, God's sun, spelled S-U-N, not S-O-N. They want to make contact with these deities. They want to make magical contact, so they're charging the sigils on the Saturnian cube. So I read more about Brendan Urie trying to think of where this came from, right? Like this whole sigil thing. And I looked around a little bit and I didn't see any clear answers for it. But it on his Wikipedia, it says he's an open pansexual, which is, of course, you know me, we talk about the genders and the sexes and I'm always in defense. I'm always on the liberal side of things. And, you know, yeah, those people exist. We need to accept them. But I also think on some levels, these fake-ass celebrities are not indeed pansexual. Like Brendan Urie, he's got some hot girlfriend or whatever. Sorry, dude. Like, you're just not. Quit. Again, Ariana's co-opting black culture. Brendan, everyone in these entertainment industries are co-opting homosexual LGBTQ culture. They're co-opting it. They're using it, which is pretty gross, I think. On one level, they'll say they're just trying to promote awareness and equality, which is fine. I get that. But I don't know. They're just fake. They're fake clones. I'm coming closer to believing the clone theory every day. And of course, Brendan was, I think he was born in Utah, of all places, Mormon, LDS Mormon. But then he left. He's mega woke. And, you know, there was a lot of other things going on that I didn't talk about on my article. Kelly Clarkson, she performed like 35 times on this thing for no reason. I don't know why. One was this shameless plug for some kids cartoon movie I assume she's affiliated with. BTS, the Korean K-pop band. The androgynous psyop they performed, and like I said, I've watched almost every award show in the last 7 years. And a few years ago when BTS was on one of these shows, I'd never heard of them before. But the crowd was supposedly going nuts. It's all fake news. They run. I have no proof of this, but. I think that they're playing applause tracks and cheering tracks for all these artists. Because when BTS was first a thing, they acted like the crowd was just going insane. And I stay fairly plugged into the music scene. Not so much top 40 pop, but like I had never heard of them. And I'm like, surely all these people are not into BTS. And just like I saw the first time, they pan through the crowd and like, you don't really see that many people laughing and screaming. If you watch the cameras, I want you to do that the next award show. Watch the cameras when they pan through the crowd after the artist performs and you'll hear the screaming and the clapping, but it doesn't look like there's that many people doing it. I don't know. That's just my fringy conspiracy about it. I think it, because like if you watch a lot of these award shows, it's like all these celebrities and they're too cool, right? They're too cool to be screaming and clapping. Just an idea. Cardi B won a bunch of awards. Good for her. It's I like to see the mentally handicapped get awarded. That's very, very kind. There was, who else was on here? I got all these little side notes I scribbled out for you. Drake. What about Drake? He won the top artist. Gave a little speech. He said that his mom used to take him to piano lessons as a kid. What a dork, huh? Drake would have got beat up. Would have got beat up in my high school. Not that I went to some super mega tough high school, but like, you know, they're band geeks. And now Drake's talking all this gangster shit like he's some tough guy. Like, bro, you were a band geek in Canada, dude. Now, I better watch what I say. I think Drake's behind all these rapper murders. The Moloch guy. He showed us the owl. That's actually Minerva, but point being that Bohemian Grove there, he's maybe linked in there. I don't know. And in fact, we're gonna revisit that here in just a second. But I want to stick to a sort of timeline. Chronologically, I want to stay on track here with the final performance. Paula Abdul, my goodness, she performed on the Saturnian Cube. Did the 666 hand and held it up to her forehead, the location of the pineal gland. A killer combo. She was doing the multiplier effect on the power of the symbols and the sigils on top of the Saturnian block of all things. And we say the pineal gland because, again, that plays a role in the occult history. They think that the pineal gland was the... what gave us the potential to communicate and commune with the gods back in the day before we evolved and it went inwards to the inner mind. Sounds crazy, I know. That's what I read, though. I read it in Dan Booth's book, The Occult History of the World. You can check that out if you, are interested in more. It's a very wacky tale, but it's apparently what these people believe in. And Paula Abdul, might I add, what are these, Paula Abdul and Madonna, you know, these are older ladies. Paula Abdul's 56. They'd be squatting it out. they're looking good for that age, right? Not that I'm attracted to either one of them, but I do appreciate how tough it might be to keep things together as you get to that age, right? Then she jumped off the top rope of the stage there and right off the top. Did you see that? She jumped off the top of this scaffolding like she's in the WWF and WWE, excuse me. And I don't know how she didn't bust a hip open right there. Craziness. She must have been coked up out of her mind. She also incorporated some technology, some Project Bluebeam, maybe, I don't know. MC Scat Cat performing Opposites Attract with her. MC Scat Cat, what does that mean? A cat that eats shit? A cat that's into scat? What a weird name. What were we thinking in the 90s? There was a rumor, a conspiracy theory that MC Scat Cat was the black dude from 40-Year-Old Virgin that's buddies with... Michael Scott from The Office. I can't think of his real name. He'll always be Michael Scott to me. Steve Carell. So, okay, yeah. So that was Paula Abdul. She wrapped the show up. Now, I want to give you some parting words of what I think happened here. We had celebrities doing the symbols and the sigils on top of the Saturnian cube. They were charging the symbols. They were sending the energy out to the Saturnian forces, to the Dark Lord, because they're all Luciferians. Drake gave an acceptance speech for the best artist. And he very curiously talked about how there's all these artists that have been dying and We need to tell them about our feelings while they're still alive. Which is very curious because, as you know, I talked about the very strange connections between him and... He had a friend, Anthony Fifth-Soares, that died. He was connected in with XXXTentacion's murder. I mean, like, it's some conspiracy stuff. Don't call the police. But he, there was a lot of weird connections there. A lot of weird stuff. And check out my podcast on that, or the article, or video, whatever, on Triple X and Drake. It was a very strange connection. So I find it curious that he's talking about how all these artists are dying, and it's like, what? Out of left field.
We were recently in Europe, and we spent a lot of nights talking to each other. You know, we spent a lot of nights conversing. We've obviously had like an unfortunate series of losses within our business. And I just want to encourage everybody to let other artists know how you feel about them. Let them know that you love them, respect them. You know what I'm saying? While we're all still here, you know.
And why is that? Why is the life expectancy so short for these people that have what seems to be great lives? They got enough money that, like, they shouldn't be stressing out about the grocery bill. Someone preparing all the healthy foods for them. If, you know, that would be the first thing I would do if I was wealthy is I'd buy a chef, okay? And that chef would go to the grocery store for me. I never got to go to the Walmart again. And that chef would prepare the tastiest of healthy foods and then clean up the kitchen. How great would that be? They've got that. They've got that at their disposal. They've got personal trainers. Why is the life expectancy so short? Why are these cats dying like this? Is Drake, does he know about the Faustian bargains? Speaking of Faustian bargains, Robert Johnson at the Crossroads, there's now a Netflix show about it. I haven't watched it yet, but it talks about the Faustian bargain that Robert Johnson talks about with the Crossroads. He sold his soul for the ability to play guitar. Friends testify that he had zero ability before it happened. Very strange. Many questions. But ultimately, this was a high-profile ritual sending energy to their god. Who's their god? You know the answer to that. Lucifer. Satan. That's the ins and outs of the 2019 BMAs. BBMAs, excuse me. What do you think about it? Tell me what you think. I've been getting lots of comments on the feed on the socials lately. Sorry I haven't been able to respond to all of them, but I am reading them. So thanks for all your feedback. Thanks for the positive feedback on the tinfoil hat show. That was a big deal to me. I was very nervous. I had a lot of anxiety about that. That's a pretty big show. That's a pretty high profile show for me. So thanks for all the kind words of encouragement. I do appreciate that. And if you haven't checked it out, go check it out. It's very entertaining. Sam's a very entertaining guy. I plan on returning to the show someday. I should get Sam on my show. What do you think of that? A lot of people... He's a divisive character. A lot of people did not, like, appreciate his high intensity. I do. I like it, man. I think it's great. Anyways, I'm going to go watch the rest of The Order on Netflix for you. The Order, have you seen it? It's a show about a kid that joins a secret society in college. And this secret society is doing magic and occult rituals and alchemy and all the sorts of things you would expect. It is the progression that they're taking you down. They start with kids getting into Harry Potter, teenagers get into the magician show that we talked about in the past. Then they go to college and now they got a show called The Order. Fits very nicely into the agenda. All right, as always, I want you to stay woke.